video, because I'll tie this back into what we're talking about in this passage. But if you have your Bibles with you, open to Colossians chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1. Last week we started our journey through Colossians. We looked at God's truth and its impact in the lives of believers. Last week you were encouraged last week just to take time to listen to a brother and sister and to give them an encouraging word. Take time not to tell them all about what's going on in your own life, but to listen to what's going on in their life and give them an encouraging word. You also were to take time to practice sharing the truths of the gospel that we talked about last week, and also to spend time praying about how God wants you to be involved in discipleship. And this week we're going to talk about praying for the church, praying for spiritual maturity. In this prayer that Paul prays for the Colossian church, we gain some great insight into how and what we should be praying for one another. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts to listen to Him as He in His Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your powerful Word. It is living, sharper than a two-edged sword. It knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, Lord. It is powerful. It is Your Word. It is breathed out by You. It is truth for our lives, the only truth, the only foundation that we have, Lord. And Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would have Your way in us this morning, Lord, that You would open our hearts to listen to what You want us to learn, to help us respond in love by obeying what You call us to obey. And Father, be with us as we study Your Word right now, Lord. May You have Your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. First off, we're going to see that we must be praying for our brothers and sisters to know His will. Look at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, once Paul heard the testimony of these Colossians believers, and once he had heard about the false teachers we talked a little bit about last week, he never ceased to pray for them, meaning that he never forgot to pray for them during his daily and regular times of prayer. What a great example for us, the compassion, the concern that Paul has for his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, Paul understood the power of prayer. He understood the power of interceding for the church, for interceding for the lost. And therefore, his life was characterized by prayer. What would others say about our prayer life? What would people say about your prayer life? Would they say your life is characterized by prayer? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we should pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 states that we should pray for all the saints. 1 Timothy 2:1 says we should pray for all people. Prayer should be an important part of our lives. Paul used two words here when he talked about his prayer for these believers. The word pray there is used in for the general sense of just the general word for prayer. And the word asking there is used for petition or to make a special request. That's exactly what Paul was doing. He made sure the church knew that he was praying for them, but then he reveals exactly what he's praying. He now had the facts. He had the facts about what was going on in Colossae, and this gave him great insight for what he needed to pray for them. And it's such wonderful insight for us. If we sometimes wonder, you know, how or what am I supposed to be praying on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ, we have petitions like these in Colossians and some of the other letters he wrote that reveal some core things that we need to be regularly praying for one another. Now, first of all, Paul's main request here is that God would fill them with the knowledge of His will. And this is huge. To fill them with the knowledge of His will meant to give them a complete, full, and deep understanding of God's will. This full and deep understanding of God's will is not going to come from our human minds. It's not going to come from our own thinking. We gain this deep understanding through the Holy Spirit and His Word. God's will that is revealed to us in His Word is made known to us by the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is why He says, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, God has clearly laid out His general will for us in the Bible, for all of His children. The specific will of God for a particular situation must always line up with what His Word says, what He's revealed to us in His Word. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to do something that is not confirmed in the Word of God. God does not contradict Himself. Paul knew that these false teachers were using Christian vocabulary to trick these believers into following after something false. something that may have sounded like Christianity, may have sounded good, but was false. Most of the time it was Jesus plus something else would give them salvation, much like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses do today. Most likely these false teachers were telling them that they were not complete without this new knowledge or this new wisdom they were offering. And therefore Paul knew that the answer to this issue was for them to grow deeper into God's Word, to grow in their wisdom and understanding of His will. Now this is not wisdom from the world. This is spiritual wisdom he talks about. Spiritual wisdom and understanding that can only come from God. This spiritual wisdom gives us the insight to take that knowledge that we know about God and practically make decisions that line up with His Word. The word understanding here literally translated is spiritual insight. It is crucial that we have a deep understanding of God's Word and have the wisdom and spiritual insight in order to make decisions that based on the Word of God that pleases Him. Our government relies on good intelligence in order to make decisions that affect our nation and the world. And there's a lot of lies and false information out there that other nations would want us to believe is true. God is giving us spiritual intelligence. And with this spiritual intelligence, we're able to withstand the attacks of the enemy in order that we not be taken advantage of or fall to Satan's lies. God has given us His truth, which reveals His will and plans for us. Therefore, if we spend time growing in our knowledge of His Word through the Holy Spirit, He will reveal to us, give us the wisdom and spiritual insight we need to spot those false teachers, to see the lies that the world is trying to bring into our lives, to make decisions that will help us live in a way that pleases God. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, if you want to know the answer to that important decision you need to make, you're going to find it through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. That's where we find guidance, direction for our lives, which means that we need to spend more time reading and meditating and studying God's Word, listening to what He's saying, obeying what the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart. We live in a world of confusion and lies. Every day before our eyes, the world builds up many destructive lifestyles as normal and good. Different lifestyles, different ways of life, and they portray these ways of life is the right way, that they're normal, that they're good. False teaching is before us every day. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves walking alongside the world, falling into one of these lifestyles that are destructive, that are not according to God's Word. And therefore, we must spend time praying for our brothers and sisters to know God's will, to have that spiritual intelligence needed to make decisions that are based on the Word of God. When it comes to making decisions about your life, your family, your children, the Word of God is where we find that. We need His Holy Spirit to lead us. We need Him to give us the spiritual insight and understanding we need to make decisions based on His Word. Not on what we think is best, not on what somebody else is doing, not on what the world is telling us, not on what you see on TV, but what the Word of God tells us. God has given us important information here so that we can have an abundant life with Him. Next, we need to spend time praying for each other to grow in practical obedience. This kind of leads us into that. First, we need to understand His will, have greater knowledge of His Word, have that practical insight to know how to base our decisions on the Word of God, but then we need to grow in practical obedience. Look at verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As a follower of Christ, spiritual knowledge and obedience go together. They go hand in hand. There's no separation between learning and living. This wasn't just about gaining some head knowledge about God's Word. The true spiritual wisdom that a follower of Christ has will affect our daily lives. Wisdom and practical intelligence for obedience must go hand in hand. Often, though, some of us will grow deeper in our knowledge of God's Word and therefore believe that somehow we're very smart or more mature than others. But our discovery of deeper truths sometimes drives us away from practical obedience to God's Word. This happened to the Pharisees in the days of Christ. Instead of gaining more zeal and spiritual fervor for Christ, we get a big head and we create more problems for others. If we're growing in our knowledge of God's Word and His will, we should be growing in our grace and love for people. We should be growing in our love for God, which is displayed in obedience to His Word. Obedience is very important. We studied this morning in Sunday school about the law versus being led by the Spirit. We have a Spirit living in us. All-powerful, mighty God living in us. And the fruits of the Spirit are going to be displayed. It's going to change our lives. It's not something that we can do in our own strength. All the truths of the Bible are practical, not theoretical. If we are growing in our knowledge of God's Word, it is going to produce obedience in us. And actually it says that it proves that we love God in part. Look at 1 John 5:3. It states that, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." This shows that we truly love. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. No, we don't live by the law, but because of the Spirit that lives in us, it produces fruits in us. It produces works. Out of the overflow of our walk with God, we walk in obedience and we walk in the works that He has prepared before we were born. We often mention two words that practically sum up the lives of those who follow Jesus: our walk and our work. We walk with God in a relationship with Him, and we work with God in His important mission to reach and save the world. But wisdom is an important part of practically walking with God and working with God. I cannot work with God unless I am walking with Him. But I cannot walk with Him if I am ignorant of His will. The purpose of following Christ is not to please ourselves. It's to please Him. It's to please God. As we grow in our knowledge of God and His will and the spiritual wisdom and insight we gain through the power of the Spirit, the result should be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. As it says there in verse 10, to live a lifestyle that pleases Him. As we grow in our relationship with God, the result should be bearing a fruit in every good work, as He talks about here. We talked about it last week. Can Almighty God live in us and we not be changed? Is that possible? Can Almighty God live in you and you not be changed by Him? The power of His Spirit lives in us. God the Holy Spirit is living in you if you have professed Christ, if you're following Him. It is going to change your life if we're daily spending time with Him in His Word and growing in our knowledge of Him and His will. We should be gaining that spiritual wisdom and understanding, that spiritual intelligence that helps us to know how to practically obey Him. When this happens, our lives are going to change. Our lifestyles will begin to line up with His Word and His ways. Our lives will be molded more and more into the likeness of Christ. We will truly then be His witness. Notice there at the end of verse 10 that as we bear fruit in every good work, we also grow or increase in our knowledge of God. Most of the spiritual understanding of God comes as we obey Him and walk in His will. Because we get to know Him better. We get to see how He works in and through us. We get to see how He works in the world around us. If we're sitting and doing nothing, just waiting on God to do everything for us, we're not going to grow in spiritual maturity. God calls us to obey Him. That's why so much of our spiritual maturity comes through walking in obedience to the works that He has planned for us. He has given you a spiritual gifting that comes along with that Holy Spirit that we use for the benefit of the body, we use to impact this world. He has called you. He's calling you to serve Him in some capacity. And when we walk in those works that He prepared before we were born, Ephesians 2:10, as we walk in those works, He's going to reveal Himself to us. He's going to reveal who He is and how He works in your life. You're going to get to know God better as you walk with Him and His mission to save the world. If you were asked today, "Lord, am I living in a way that pleases You?" If you were to ask Him today, "Am I walking in a manner worthy of You, Lord?" What would He tell you today? What would He say about your walk? See, Paul knew the answer for handling these false teachers. It was about growing deeper in our relationship with the Lord, growing in our knowledge of Him and His will, and through the work of God the Holy Spirit, He would give us that practical insight to be able to practically obey God to live a life that pleases Him, to be able to spot those false teachers. We talked about, you've probably heard how, you know, if you have a $20 bill or a $100 bill, there's a lot of counterfeit money out there in the world that people are trying to make this counterfeit money. And the way they understand if it's counterfeit is to know the true dollar bill. They don't go out and study all the counterfeits. They study that bill and know every little teeny detail about it. And when they spot the real one, they know the real one, they can spot the false ones easy. Just like we talked about, when you know the true gospel, we can spot the false gospel. If you know what the true gospel is all about, if you know what God's will is and what His will is for your life, if you know what your identity is in Christ, it's easy to spot those false things in the world. It's easy to spot that. D.L. Moody often said, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Meaning to truly know and understand God's Word brings us to a point of action. We have to put on our shoes and go out into the world and obey Him, follow Him, be a part of His mission. As we study His Word, we're confronted with a choice every single time to obey or not to obey. When you study His Word, you're confronted with that question. It's not just about gaining knowledge. It's not just about gaining more insight even. We have to walk in obedience. We're always confronted with that. And Paul would agree. Paul has prayed that we might have spiritual intelligence, that this intelligence might result in practical obedience. So we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters to grow, not just in knowledge, but also in practical obedience to God's Word. We also need to be praying that our brothers and sisters will grow in spiritual strength. The spiritual strength that we talked about this morning in Sunday school, the spiritual strength that truly makes all this possible. Look there at verses 11 through 14. Pray that your brothers and sisters will grow in spiritual strength. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We know that growing in our knowledge of God and His will changes our lives. We've talked about that. As we spend time in His Word, God the Holy Spirit gives us that spiritual intelligence, spiritual wisdom, and understanding to know His will and how to practically obey Him, how to make decisions that line up with His Word and will. This in turn helps us walk in a manner that is worthy of Him, pleasing to Him. It helps us bear fruit in every good work, and it also gives us the spiritual strength we need to live life with great endurance, with patience, as he talks about here, along with joy and thanksgiving. These are spiritual characteristics that reveal growth, our spiritual growth, our spiritual maturity. As a follower of Christ, we know that God the Holy Spirit lives in us. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, when you heard the Word of God and you believed, when you heard the Word of the truth, the gospel, and you believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance. The Spirit lives in us. He indwells every one of His children. He talks here about being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Can we even imagine the power of His glorious might? Remember, He spoke and it was all created. Everything. He spoke and it was created. Remember, He brought Jesus back to life. By His power, He defeated death and sin. It is by His power that we've seen in this passage that we gain the spiritual wisdom and to understand His Word and to know His will. It's by His power that we overcome our flesh, that we overcome our sins, that we overcome the enemy. It is by His power that we're able to obey Him. It is by His power that He works in and through us to share the gospel, to make disciples. It is by His power that we live a lifestyle that pleases Him. As stated in 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you ever study different religions, you know that all of them depend on you. They all depend on you. And we know from understanding humanity that no human being can live a perfect life. No human being can overcome their own flesh. God says we're slaves to sin. We're slaves to our flesh. We think that coming to Christ is going to be some burden, that we're not going to have control. You don't have control now. The world doesn't have control. You're a slave to your sin. You're a slave to every one of your desires. You just succumb to it. You just follow after it. But with Christ, something's different. He knows how we're made. He made us. He knows the problems we struggle with. He knows our flesh. He came to the world and overcame it. That's why He fills us with His Spirit. That's why He gives us a helper, a comforter, a teacher. He lives in us and gives us the strength to overcome our flesh. We learned it this morning. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's different with Christ. So much different. And it's not bondage. It's freedom. Freedom to be who we were created to be. Freedom to walk in hope and purpose and life, abundant life. And here He says that by the power, His power, we live life with great endurance and patience. These two words often are connected to each other. Endurance meaning not easily succumbing under suffering. Having the power to continue or go through the suffering and trials that we face in life. Having the strength to endure what the world sometimes sees as impossible. It's like the persecution that we just seen. We saw this video of this Sri Lankan pastor. The world would look at that and say, how can that be? We want revenge. We want it to be made right. And he said, just like Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they forgave those who came into their church and blew their children up. How can that be? How can they have this kind of endurance? It doesn't make sense that they can act with forgiveness and that kind of treatment unless you understand the power of Christ in them to endure and to have patience. The word used here for patience means self-restraint. One who does not hastily retaliate. So to have a lack of endurance would lead someone to lose heart and give up. And to have a lack of patience would lead someone to wrath and revenge. That's not what we saw in Pastor Roshan. We see endurance and patience. We see the love of Christ in this man. To have that kind of compassion. And fortunately, not all of the pastors I know in Sri Lanka have responded the same way. How would you respond? Would it be with such anger and bitterness and revenge? Or would it be with endurance and patience? It's only by the power of God that we can have this type of patience and endurance. It's also by His power that we can, with this endurance and patience, accompany with that, have this joy and thanksgiving. It's one thing to endure hardship and complain the whole way through it. It's quite an extraordinary thing to respond in trial and suffering with joy and thanksgiving. Look at what He reminds us of here in verse 12 and 14. I know this is in the mind of Pastor Roshan. I know it's in the mind of those who respond this way. But listen to what He reminds us of here in verses 12 through 14. With joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If that doesn't produce joy and thanksgiving in us, nothing will. But it is only in Christ, through His Word and power, that we have the spiritual intelligence to understand what this means for us, what this means for the world. In the midst of suffering and trial, we have power to endure, to be patient, and at the same time respond with joy and thanksgiving to our Father. Why? Because God in His mercy and grace has qualified those who follow Christ to share in the inheritance of His eternal kingdom, which He talks about there in verse 12. Because of our sin, we deserve to be banished to the domain of darkness. eternally separated from fellowship with God, our Creator, eternally suffering in anguish and torment in a place that was created for Satan and his demons. That's what we deserve. That's the bad news. But God in His love, He came for us. He came to take our sin and punishment of death on Himself. God the Father poured out His holy wrath on His Son instead of you and I. When Jesus rose from the grave, He made a way for us to be transferred from the domain of darkness to His eternal kingdom. From death to life. We see that in verse 13 and 14. Through Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. We don't have to make ourselves good in order to come to the Father. It's not possible. You can't work for this free gift of life. You can't earn it. We have to accept by faith the work that He did on our behalf on the cross. Without faith in Christ, you cannot enjoy all that we just talked about in this passage. You must first have a relationship with God. And if you don't know how to do that, here's how you receive this free gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough. It doesn't matter how much sin you have accumulated. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. You must first acknowledge your sin before Him and ask His forgiveness. You must then believe that He died for you and rose from the grave. Then by faith you entrust your life to Him. By faith you receive His forgiveness and eternal life. He is now your Lord. Which means you've turned from your old life and you've entrusted your whole life to Him. You've surrendered your life to Him. You're living life His way now. He's in control. He's Lord of your life. As a child of God, then you have been adopted into His family. I want you to remember, it doesn't matter how bad you think you are. You're not beyond forgiveness. Christ took every bit of our sin on the cross. He paid the full penalty, the full price for all of it. And no matter how bad you think you are, God still loves you. And He revealed that. He doesn't have to prove that anymore. He sent His only Son to die on the cross. He poured out His wrath on His only Son because He loves you that much. As a child of God, you've been adopted in His family. You not only have a relationship with Him, I said you've been adopted into His family. You have relationships with your new brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of your responsibilities is to pray for each other. We see this in Ephesians 16. Pray, 6:18, pray for the saints. Here in this passage, we gain great insight into what we should be praying. First, pray for your brothers and sisters to know God's will. That we would all spend time in His Word daily. Daily. Growing in our knowledge of Him. Growing in our knowledge of His will. Growing in our spiritual wisdom and understanding so that with this new spiritual intelligence, we can make decisions that are based on the Word of God. So that we can spot those false teachers that are out there in the world. So that we don't succumb to us being led into the ways of the world and just walking alongside the world as if we don't understand the truth or that we're blinded in some way. We need to pray for the body to understand, to know His will. Secondly, we need to pray for your brothers and sisters to grow in practical obedience. Pray that we may live a life worthy of our Lord that is pleasing to Him. Pray that we not only be filled with head knowledge, but the spiritual wisdom that we learn to live accordingly to His Word, to practically obey what God teaches us. Pray that we would be faithful in bearing fruit in every good work. It's not something you can muster up, right? The Spirit lives within us, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Faithfulness. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. He produces those things in us. You can't do that in your own strength. As we walk with God and as we obey Him, He produces those fruits in us. He empowers us to do what He calls us to do. God has given you all the power you need to fulfill everything He's commanded you to do. He's already done that. It's there. Third, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters to grow in spiritual strength. That's the spiritual strength. Pray that we live holy lives and not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit inside of us. That is possible. Our sin can quench the Holy Spirit. We want to make sure that we can make use of the full power of God inside of us, so we not hinder His work that He wants to do in us and through us, so we might live with endurance and patience through all the trials and suffering we face in this world, so that we respond to life's issues not with complaining, but with joy and thanksgiving to God our Father. As the worship team comes, respond to the Lord as He leads this morning. Maybe you need to take time to evaluate your prayer life. Maybe you need to get a list of the people in this body if you don't have one, so that you can pray for them. Maybe you need to set a goal to pray for the body about these particular things. As always, we're confronted with the question, do I obey or not? How will you respond to the Lord? Remember, it's not just enough to gain this head knowledge, to gain insight into what He wants us to pray. We need to pray. We need to follow through and obey Him and pray for the body. Pray for the lost. It is powerful. If we don't pray, we're never going to see this community reach. We're not praying for each other, and we're not praying for the lost daily. With those list of names we have, we're never going to reach this community, because it shows that we rely on God to do what only He can do. Let's go to the Lord in worship and prayer.
For this heart, oh God.
close us in prayer. Before that, after that, Lillian's going to come up and explain these baskets, the gift baskets that we're getting together to take to the teachers at the middle school this week. And also, if you pray for me this afternoon, I get to speak to at the baccalaureate at Buckingham. So if y'all pray for me in that well. So Roland, if you close us.